If you have a Bible, you can turn to Revelation chapter 3. Alternatively, you can look at the front of your bulletin where the verse is printed. I'm not going to preach on this text. I am going to lead you in practicing our belief that God speaks to his people through his word directly, not just through the preaching of the word. We believe, like the book of Hebrews says, that the word of God, the Bible, is living and active. In that context in Hebrews, that meant the Exodus story from more than 1,000 years before could speak directly to the lives of Christians in a different part of the world, in a different century. And we still hold that that's true, that God can speak to us directly through his word. And so I'm gonna set the table for this verse just a little bit, and then I'm going to read it through 3 or 4 times and give you different prompts to imagine not just these are words that God spoke to John on the island of Patmos in like 96 AD or so, but these are words that the Holy Spirit of God, who is here with us, is using to speak to you. It's an act of faithful imagination in submission to the word of God that we're going to practice together. And it's not pressurized. To say that God continues to speak to his people is not to say that God is constantly speaking to each of us in every conceivable way. If we go through this exercise and you find yourself being like, I don't think I got a single thing out of that, that's okay, right? You, like, in every good relationship you've had, there's been lots of conversational dead space, right? Where you're like, I have no idea how many hours Vanessa and I have spent together not talking, but those are a sign of the goodness and depth of our relationship. So it's all right if you don't hear anything this time. The verse, just the verse that we're going to be meditating on and imagining our way through, is Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me. I want to give you just a little bit of context, because that verse comes in the middle of a short letter that God wrote to a group of Christians in a little town on the other side of the planet called Laodicea. And the verse comes kind of toward the end of the letter. The beginning of the letter is not quite as cozy as verse 20 sounds. This is the whole letter read aloud. And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So, because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may be rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline, so be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him, and he with me. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So a little bit of table setting. The Christians in Laodicea were a group that had kind of visible earthly reasons to feel pretty comfortable and self-reliant. You know, they drove by those newly fashionable yard signs that say, "You got this?" And they're like, "Yeah, that's true. I got this. I can handle life." Okay. And that had led them to a casual relationship with Jesus. You know, like, he was more like a vacation home than a home. Like, a nice place to visit, good to hang out with for a bit on Sunday mornings, but then back to real life. And this letter is Jesus saying to them, "You are just so wrong. You don't got this at all. Your prosperity and your apparent functionality are paper mache. In reality, you need me desperately. And I am here to offer myself to you. This is a wake-up call of love, not a finger wag of shame. Open your eyes and see that you cannot live the life you were meant for one moment without my grace, without my help." That's the setting for "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Okay? Now we're going to endeavor to imagine ourselves hearing Jesus speak to us in verse 20. Through his living and active word. So the picture in the verse is of we're at home, in our apartment, in our kitchen, in our living room, going on with life. And we see Jesus walk up to the front door. In my house, there's a big window facing the front, and you have to walk past it on the little sidewalk to get to the front door. So we know it's Jesus coming to the door. We know exactly who it is. Right? And we hear the knock. So I'll read the verse again, and the question that I want you to chew on is internal. What happens inside of you when you realize Jesus has come knocking? Listen to God through his word. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him, and he with me." Sit for a minute with that question. Jesus knocking at the door. What am I feeling? What am I thinking? To read again, and this time the question I want you to ponder is, do I open the door? That's what the verse hinges on. Behold, Jesus says, "I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him, and he with me." Notice that it doesn't say, if anyone opens the door bursting with joy or with the appropriate amount of reverence. The question isn't, you know, do I feel the right way when I open the door? The question is, do I open the door? Last reading through, and I'm going to give you a longer stretch of quiet after this one, because this question's a little broader. If you opened the door, what is that meal like? Where you and Jesus sit down together and eat. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him, and he with me. Amen. I would encourage you. We won't do it in the service, but I would very much encourage you later today or later this week to find somebody to tell what that experience was like. Even if it was super long and awkward, and that's all I have to say about it. Be honest. We do that because God may want to speak through his word and us to others. And we do that because we don't assume that our ears and imaginations are infallible. And so we don't, if I get to sit down with my mom and Haley and talk about what happened inside of me during that exercise, I don't say I'm 1,000% sure that this is what God had to say to me and what the takeaway is. The Bible tells us don't quench the Holy Spirit, don't shut him off. and refuse to listen to him, but test the spirits, weigh together. Does that sound like the Jesus we know? Or does that sound more like Zach's subconscious? Right? So that's my invitation for sometime after the service. That exercise is going to lead us into some silent time of confession. We confess our sins regularly here because we know we are in the presence of a God who loves sinners. We are not confessing to wallow in our shame or to try to prove that we are sorry enough for our sins. We are confessing because it is good to be really seen, really forgiven, and really loved by anyone, and by God most of all. So take a few moments and consider the ways in which you are maybe a little Laodicean, prone to self-reliance, either confident that you got this or anxiously pressured to figure out how to get this. Consider those as prayers of confession, because they are not in step with the Spirit of God. Father, we acknowledge, we confess that despite our veneers of competence, we don't got this. We are, in truth, on our own, wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. We have nothing with which to buy from you, gold refined by fire or white garments or salve for our eyes. All we can do is come to you in faith and trust that you are the God of grace, the God who gives freely to people like us who do not deserve but need to receive. Amen. Let's now sing together of the God who always responds with grace to our thirst, our weakness, our fear, our lostness.